every time you have to go and ask for consent, that takes a lot of courage because, like you were just saying, that fear of rejection and being told no, that's hard. And I was told no twice that night. Well, I'm also going to say I pushed myself to be as active and participate as much as I could that night. So I tried to play a little bit with a lot of people. Oh, I hope that doesn't make me sound bad.
No, not at all. I celebrate that. That sounds amazing.
I was like, if I'm gonna put myself out here, if I'm going to experience this, I want to the best of my ability, like really try to experience it and experience different people and different energies. And so I was like, I'm gonna see if I can, touch this person. Twice I was told no. Welcome back to Dear Polly, a podcast about sexual exploration and polyamory. This is part two of Consent with Andre. If you haven't listened to part one, stop and go back. This is a great episode filled with valuable information. In this episode, we continue the conversation of consent. What does it sound like? What does it look like? And how can we change the future of consent culture? If you have a question or a topic you would like us to cover, please feel free to reach out via the gram at Dear Polly Podcast or through our anonymous web form at dearpolypodcast.com. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Follow us on the gram, like and share. But most importantly, I hope you enjoy.
I think people are afraid to, again, the rejection fear, the insecurity of like not, being invited in. Comes into these scenarios.
I almost forgot that I was talking about that first sex party I went to.
And I didn't forget.
I forgot. And that is exactly what happened. And I will tell you, one, it was already kind of terrifying to be going to a sex party because I had never been to one. But I had like made a commitment to myself that I was going to be diligent and respectful about consent, that I wanted to be, if anything, overly cautious.
Yeah.
So I go into this party, and the first time I ask somebody if I could watch, because I watched for a bit before I participated, they were like, yeah. Like looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. I just want to make sure,
Yeah, that was beautifully done.
Yeah. And, but every time you have to go and ask for consent, that takes a lot of courage because, like you were just saying, that fear of rejection and being told no, that's hard. And I was told no twice that night. Well, I'm also going to say I pushed myself to be as active and participate as much as I could that night. So I tried to play a little bit with a lot of people. Oh, I hope that doesn't make me sound bad.
No, not at all. I celebrate that. That sounds amazing.
I was like, if I'm gonna put myself out here, if I'm going to experience this, I want to the best of my ability, like really try to experience it and experience different people and different energies. And so I was like, I'm gonna see if I can, touch this person. Twice I was told no. And I was like, okay, I respect that. Thank you. Yeah. And it can be scary to ask for consent out of fear of rejection, but I think what outweighs that is when you get the enthusiastic confirmation of consent, it like way overcomes the fear that took to get there.
And can I just say that I've been to, I can't even count how many different play parties I've been to at this point in my life. And I still get nervous when I go to these. So So it is a completely normal or, you know, usual feeling when you're going into one of these spaces that you've never like been before, but I've been to many and I'm still feeling those feelings. So it's a very vulnerable space to like go. In a way, even though you don't have to participate at all, mm-hmm. you can go to these experiences. And depending on which ones, some of them have like some form of rule that you have to be partnered, or if it's one where you're a single, you know, male-bodied individual, you usually have to have accompaniment. So, but because all of these experiences are so different, you can really like get to like feel into like the uncomfort of them by doing what you did, which is putting yourself out of your comfort zone and maybe stepping outside of what you would normally do and engage with people more often or ask people more questions. But it can be a very vulnerable space. But knowing that you're amongst a group, and I'm generalizing here because there's going to be, you know, bad apples wherever you go, but in a general group, you're going to have people who are really adamant about consent, about boundaries, about safety. So consent, safety, boundaries, all of these words, they really do go hand in hand. Also understanding that the experience itself of you just going there is showing that you are someone who is interested in having these conversations about consent, because you've done probably some form of research or you've met someone who told you about this party, and you'll see in reviews around like, oh, this was a space where it felt very safe, or this was a space that maybe I wouldn't go back to because there weren't like rules or consent culture at that particular location. So everywhere will be different for sure. But any form of like touch, any form of advancement should come with a little bit of intuition, self-awareness, and making sure that there's a conversation being had before any form of like physical or intentional like sexual energy is brought to someone. But I'm curious for you, Philip, like when you were there and once you started asking and having these conversations, did you integrate that into like times after that party? Like, did you find that you were now practicing more of these conversations?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It is, it's so interesting how, I don't even know what the right word is. The word that comes to mind is empowering.
I think that's a great word.
The experience of having the consent conversations, whether they went positive or I don't want to say negatively, whether they went in favor of participation or not, mm-hmm. The more I was having those throughout the night, the more empowered I felt to have those conversations, the more empowered I felt to be an active a part of the experience. And as I even came away from that, I felt like the sense of like real pride that I knew the partners that I had been with that evening were, you know, enthusiastically engaged with me, and that there was no question of whether or not someone had to experience something they didn't want to. You know, it was, mm-hmm. I felt really empowered by that experience, and I have continued to carry that on and actually talk about consent on a regular basis, you know, when I'm out with friends or whatever. And I think that that's really healthy. I think that's really important. There was, as you were talking about your kind of pre-conversation you have with your partner before you go, that triggered a thought with me. I actually have a post that's going to be coming up on social media soon, I think next week. I think it's my next sex positive tip. And it talks about how never negotiate naked.
Never negotiate naked. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that before, but
it's not mine again. It's one I stole from someone else, but I really
interesting. Yeah.
That's like the main like context of it is never negotiate naked, but then they break it down a little bit to talk about what that means. And it's that you are more empowered to have your voice when you are having the conversation fully clothed before you go into the pressure of engaging in something.
Yeah.
So it may be speaking from like a female bodied or a submissive receiver style, you know, perspective, that you'll feel more empowered if you're having that conversation before you get naked, before you're in the moment. And I thought that was really interesting when I read that, because it's not something I've thought about. And quite often in the past, the negotiation conversations about what you're willing to do or not willing to do, or whether you wanted to play safe or not safe, almost always happens like right before you do the deed, you know, like in the moment. And you're like having to try and read the other person as to what they're going to be into, because at that point you're ready to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And yet you don't want to like say something that causes it not to happen.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really powerful.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate the perspective, and I, that does make sense, and I see where that has a big place. And I feel most of the like larger conversations I've had, like you said, have been when clothed before going into an experience. I can actually like recall like just recently, a woman that I've been speaking with and connecting with on a more emotional level for some months. We finally were intimate with one another. And while we were getting hot and heavy, and we both could tell we wanted this experience to like happen now, we took a pause. You know, I had her pressed up against the wall, and we took a pause and we had a conversation. We talked about safety as far as last time we were tested, our current like STD, STI status. What are some things, or how are you feeling about this experience? Are there any things that you're feeling like insecure about or wanting to share with me? And we had like 4 or 5 minutes worth of conversation, even though we might have already like started kissing and starting to, you know, become like one with our bodies, you know, pressed together. We still had that moment. I want to also like make sure I mention that it's okay for these conversations to shift even in those points where clothes are off and people are naked and you're intertwined, that what was something you consented to in the beginning can change, and something that you said was completely off limits in the beginning can also change, because now you feel more open, you've surrendered, you're letting go a little bit more. So understand, there is no point from the beginning of an experience to the very end is one conversation the only conversation that happens, or once you've said I've consented, that means that you're, you know, free and clear from any form of conversation happening again around that consent. That is not the case. And what I've heard, learned from experience with clients, from research, that especially with a younger generation, and I'll focus more on male-bodied individuals, this idea that there's this expectation that if someone says that they like you or are interested in you, that means you now have free rein to just give them everything that you want and desire. So having these conversations, I'm not sure the age range of people who are listening to your podcast, but if you are that young individual or you're a parent of a young individual, starting these conversations early, teaching at 6, 7, 8 years old around asking before grabbing, you know, someone's toy, or don't, you know, make sure before you touch whoever that you ask them, can I hold your hand? because that's where we can break the pattern, is starting at a younger generation. Not that you and I are like a lost cause, but, but we, you know, we have decades and decades worth of tutelage, training, societal structure that have been baked into us. So it's harder for us to unlearn, but we can still do it. But when we're younger, more malleable, that's where we can really start to like make consent part of just the general conversation. And then we won't have to hear about these larger Me Too movements. We won't have to hear about another, you know, assault where instead of someone being like, oh, that's just typical, that's just how things are, it can be much more shocking to us. But I feel like in our current state, the way that we receive this information, when we hear about something like this, especially someone of influence doing this, then it's not, it's still appalling, but it's not really a shock. Like, so that's what I hope for, is not just trying to talk about these conversations when we're in a, you know, in our teens, 20s, 30s, or on, but earlier than that.
I have to say, I think that that is really, really powerful thought right there. It had never occurred to me that consent conversations and the foundation of understanding consent goes all the way back to asking for a toy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is brilliant to me. Like, that is kind of a little mind-blown moment. Mm. I'm like, that is so powerful to think about.
Yeah, and I think about from the moments of like really being able to recall that far back. I mean, I'm getting older, so those moments are fleeting. But yeah, just even thinking about times where I had like touched someone, or like grab them, or like push them, or like being like the younger male archetype of the flirty, you flirt by like not liking the person kind of archetype that way back when. And just thinking about how it was just allowed. Like, it was just something that was, oh, that's boys being boys. Yeah. And that's where it starts, and then it just continues on and on and on, where now you're hearing about assaults or any form of inappropriate touching that takes place. And I also have empathy. I have empathy for the individuals who are also the ones who are doing these inappropriate deeds, because somewhere along their path, along their history, they were told, or they learned, or they were never like told that what they did was inappropriate. So it's just baked into who they are. And while it's an excuse, it's something that we can have these conversations around to say that, rather than just looking at the perpetrator as this bad person, is also looking at that perpetrator's history and understanding why they felt that this was an acceptable thing. And now we can start to unravel that and teach and learn more about ways we can avoid these situations in the next time. I fully believe we will never be able to eliminate something like that, but we can do our best to remedy or be proactive around it.
I agree. One more thing that I want to mention about consent, because I think it's one that people really, I don't know if it's talked about enough, but it can be withdrawn at any point. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's important that people understand that for multiple reasons. One, I think that whoever it is that's deciding to withdraw that consent, they need to know and feel empowered to do so. And it can be for a number of reasons. You know, I have on more than one occasion kicked somebody out of my bed because the energy shifted. It was no longer, I no longer wanted to be engaging in that activity with that individual. And I've told friends about that before, and they're like, you did? And I was like, hell yeah, I did. Like, I was done. I was over it. It was not going in the direction that I wanted it to go in. I was no longer comfortable. I'm not going to like just go with it, you know? Yeah. So I think that that's something that really needs to be talked about as well, because people need to feel empowered to be able to say, I've changed my mind. I'm not feeling this anymore. And those that hear that need to recognize that that's an okay thing to happen, and mm-hmm. it needs to be respected.
Totally. And I'm so glad that you brought that up. And that is such a powerful thing to have, or feel like you have that power once someone is in your home, on your couch, in your bed, wherever you are, that this means that there's no turning back. And let's say that again, which is, you can turn back at any point. You could either be penetrating someone, or they could be penetrating you, and you can say, I want to pause and I need a moment, or I'm just not feeling this right now. Oh, I lost you there. Are you back?
I can hear you, but I can't see you anymore.
Okay.
Oh, now I can see you.
Now you're back. I was like, did I just stun you with my amazing wisdom?
We heard everything. You sounded a little bit robotic, but we heard everything.
Okay.
It's my fault. It's my internet. The internet in this building has just been a nightmare.
I don't think we can blame the internet on you, but I appreciate you falling on that sword. But yeah, just to shorten, really powerful. You have a voice. No matter at what point you are in an intimate connection, or even before that intimate connection begins. So, I'm so happy that we're talking about this, and I hope a lot of people take something away from it.
Me too. Is there anything else that you want to contribute to this before I give you an opportunity to talk about yourself?
Just, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. I believe what you're doing is beautiful work. And I hope that, again, just anyone watching or listening to this will take some nugget away that they can share with a friend, and then create this web of consent culture that just goes out all around the world. That's what I hope for.
That's what I hope for too. I do too. It's the whole reason why I do this, is to make a ripple of an impact that hopefully changes people's lives in a positive way.
You're doing it right now.
Thank you. So tell us about what you've got going on. Did it release yesterday?
Yesterday it did.
That's right. Yeah. I thought it was releasing on the 5th. Okay. So tell us about it.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. So as I mentioned, my partner and I, Susanna Rose, have been in a non-monogamous relationship for 8 years. And through that time, we've connected with so many people. We've had really beautiful, impactful experiences. We've had ones that were, you know, sometimes a little bit more challenging. And what we did was learn a lot of lessons about ourselves. And we also learned a lot of mistakes that we were making and how we were navigating an open relationship dynamic. And we're connecting with people who were learning a lot of techniques and lessons from us in their journey. And we were told many times, we need to share this knowledge. We need to create something that where people can learn how to navigate these more difficult relationship dynamics, but that can also yield such positive effects in the longevity of connection, of emotion, of pleasure. So yesterday, May 5th, we launched our online course. And when I say it was 8 years in the making, it really has been. And it's a labor of love. And I just feel so immensely joyful that it's out there in the ethosphere. But we launched our course, and it's called Open to More: How to Navigate Consensual Non-Monogamy. And it's basically a 6-week course online that you can sign up anytime. And you learn the lessons that we're talking about right now, Philip, which is consent, how to integrate and understand jealousy, how to ask for what you want, how to research and go to a play space, a some form of meetup, some form of like intimate course, or also just being able to understand how to talk about, communicate desire with your partner. So while the focus is on open relationships, it really is all relationships can learn something from this. So yeah, just really excited to get it out there, and hopefully people will be signing up in droves.
I hope so too. I think that it's incredibly valuable. I think that, as you said, it goes well beyond just people that are wanting to be in open relationships. Open relationships force us to have a deeper understanding of our personal desires, and forces us to articulate those thoughts and feelings more.
I don't think I could have said it better. That was beautiful.
And I think that every relationship, open or not, could benefit from having that kind of emphasis on communication and self-awareness.
Totally. So. Totally. And I, Susanna, we celebrate all relationship dynamics, even those who might be more traditional or monogamous. It's really about what feels good for you and the partnership, and understanding there's, if the traditional monogamy that you've been practicing hasn't felt good for you, or you feel like it's missing something and you're just fighting yourself and just fighting this like desire, that there are alternatives. That's what we're sharing, that there's relationship possibility out there, and you don't have to be in one box, and that box that, you know, you feel like you are comfortable in now might change 1,000 times in that relationship. I know that our relationship has morphed more times than I can count, but that's what this course is about. It's about how you can really connect in a more intimate, safe way with your partner. So yeah, the reason I'm so excited about it is because I know that it will help. I know that it will help people.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Make sure that you check the show notes for all the links to Andre's Instagram, his course, all of that. I'll have them in there. So make sure you check those out and sign up for his course. I think it'll be great.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for today, Philip.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining me. And I hope that we have more conversations in the future.
Oh, let's say we will. We'll put that out there right now.
We will. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.